All right, folks, we're back at Water Day at the Capitol. We have another guest on at this time. Sir, if you want to introduce yourself.
Yeah, I'm Senator Casey Murdoch.
Senator Murdoch, welcome. We've actually had you on in the past.
We have.
Yes.
Eddie and I.
Absolutely.
Spent some time on here. Had a lot of fun.
Thoroughly enjoyed that one. Now, we were talking about hosting Hochtown, and Hochtown specifically that time. You mentioned last time and this time you're in the western portion of the state, and we see water completely differently. Mm. I think it was mentioned just a minute ago, aquifers are your main source of water.
Right. I live in the Panhandle, and it's over the Ogallala, and you know, when I first got elected and came down here, they said, oh, you don't have any water out there. I got all the water in the world. It's just underground.
Right.
And it's enough water to cover the entire state 3 feet deep.
Now, we did learn, I believe, in one of the previous episodes just a little bit ago, that is diminishing at a larger rate than ever before. Is that the correct way to state that? Or was it because it was talking about so many feet down per year versus what it was versus now?
Yeah, it's dropping, but it's all what I notice in my area is if you see Taos and Red River and Angel Fire making snow, our wells are going to be a little weak that summer. It's all on how much snowfall they get in the mountains. Okay. But it does. It takes so the Ogallala is a bedrock aquifer where you get into Major County and Garfield and Woods. That's an alluvial aquifer, which they can refill. I don't want to say overnight, but they refill rather quickly. A few good rains and they're full, and a wet summer they'll be full. The Ogallala, it takes a little longer, but it's a much larger aquifer. It covers Nebraska, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, parts of Colorado and parts of New Mexico, but not much. But you know, five states.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's large. So when you see, it takes a little bit more to fill a big bathtub than it does a small bathtub.
Right.
When you say making snow, you mean they're making artificial snow. They're not getting the snowfall that they should be getting.
Right.
Which I guess translates.
I'm not talking about the cocaine trade.
Right. Where I could see that could affect you guys' water, though, too. But, well, it seems, you know, we met with Representative Newton earlier, and he talked about, you know, a bill coming through that I guess is asking for metering of commercial and industry in the western part of the state. How do you feel about that? And
I don't like it.
You don't?
That's government regulations on, and I say that, yeah, that is, it's government regulations, but the vast majority of producers out there already have meters on their wells.
Right.
Not mandated by the government. It's because they want to manage their water. We don't have a whole lot of water, and they want to manage it efficiently. And I have to say, the groundwater users in the western, well, I'll say the groundwater users in this state are the most efficient users of water in the state. They're about a 98% efficiency rate. So if you think about it, they're pumping that water out of the ground, and that's costing them money. And it'll cost, it just goes on natural gas. They use natural gas wells to pump water. So every drop they pump out costs them money. So they want every drop that they're paying to pump it out to go right where they want it to go.
Right.
They're not wasting it. It's not running down the bar ditches. If you look back in irrigation history, they started out, they were row irrigating, just, and most of that water wound up in the bar ditch. You know, went through the field and out into a tailwater pit, and sometimes they reused it, but about a 20% efficiency rate. And they've moved to 98% with the type of irrigation systems that they have.
So another hot word or phrase that has been mentioned several times today was the in-stream flows. Where do you stand on, I guess it was Senator Bullard,
yes,
that was here, and he was speaking about, you know, just trying to get that defined and everybody using the same definition.
He mentioned that Oklahoma was the last one that hasn't regulated the in-stream flows or
hasn't defined it as a state, I guess, is what he was saying. Just your opinion on getting that unified definition of in-stream flow.
So I don't, no, I'd be fine with a definition of in-stream flow, but I want to know what the definition is.
Right.
Some of the language that I have seen, I do not like it. And what I don't want to do is connect groundwater to surface water. And the language that I've seen prior was connected the groundwater to surface water. And those are two different rights. Groundwater is a personal property rights. If you own that piece of property in the state of Oklahoma, you own the water.
Mm-hmm.
Surface water is not owned by the ground, by the property owner.
Right.
So you're if you ever tie that together, then someone, or not someone, every property owner in the state is going to lose a property right.
Right.
So I don't want to tie the two together.
We have a guest in the house, Mr. Dempsey.
Eddie came out to the Panhandle a couple weeks ago and found out how tough it is out there.
Yeah, thank y'all. I got to go to Guymon when I flew out there, and before I landed, I could see Canada. So anyhow,
is that?
But I will say this: I couldn't fly out because the wind. And Mr. Murdoch here was working cows. Everybody thinks he gets sunburned. No, that's wind, chap.
That's wind burn. Huh?
Yeah, wind burn on him. So yeah,
ain't much out there to get in the way of.
That's it. But what Casey's talking about, I got to talk to 6 different farmers out there that weekend, and what they talked about, how they regulate it, the real true farmers, how they regulate their water. They got monitors, like baby monitors. If they're in the middle of the night, if they're, what's their pods, is that what you call your sprinkler? There's round deals, but
an irrigation system.
Irrigation system. If the irrigation system gets stuck, they get a notice. If it breaks open, flowing out too much water, they get a notice. So them guys, the true ones, they understand the water and how you have to cherish it, because if they don't, they know their great grandkids are not going to have water. So
well, and that's it's generational, and with the, like I said, the technology from row irrigation to sprinkler irrigation, this stuff that they have today is phenomenal. Like, they'll get a text message when the sprinkler quits walking. Not only, you know, I told you the cost of pumping that water out of the ground, you also lose all your fertilizer, because that sprinkler, if it sits there and runs in the same spot all night long, it leaches all the fertilizer out. So you lose your crop, you lose the money you put in the fertilizer, it costs you money. So they're
not in the business of losing money.
If you're talking about wasting water, if they waste water, it's costing them money, and they're not going to stay in business long.
And I mean, that's what, and he said generational. One of the guys, his grandpa was born in one of them dugouts out there, so all these people have been out there for ages, and they know what to do, and like I said, and they understand it, how intrusive it is, and just, and I was very impressed how knowledgeable all the technology they have just for the, to make sure they have groundwater for the future and stuff. And I mean, knowing these guys, they have been that close to Kansas and Texas too, because it's really rock throwing distance from both states in that part of the world. And we don't want nothing like Kansas has at all.
No, that
is a negative for the state of Oklahoma. And Texas is almost as bad, but still. And then they're talking about traditional farmers been there forever, and Kansas are moving to Oklahoma. It just, they're buying land, moving over just so they can make money, because
in the state of Kansas, the state owns the water, not the property owner. It's a state asset, and they for forever. I think they changed it 2 or 3 years ago. But you know, if you were farming, you bought the water from the state. It was a use it or lose it. You know, at the end of the year, if you didn't use everything that you bought, you lost it.
Right. Hmm.
And so you would see sprinklers running in December watering corn stalks that they'd bought it, so they just went in and used it.
Right.
Well, that's a waste.
Right.
That is a waste.
If they had rain, I mean, it does rain out there somewhere. And if they had rain, they didn't have to use that much, but they done bought it, so they go ahead and use it. So like Casey said, it's Senator Murdoch, what he said, it's a waste. So, I mean, that's something that our state don't want to get part of at all, because it just handcuffs our farmers and ranchers.
Are there any programs as far as water conservation? I mean, is there anything new innovations, new technologies that are happening that can...
All the time. So the newest one is, well, this program that these farmers put on, it's a topography, and the same technology that's texting them, they can pull out their cell phone and see where the sprinkler's going, how fast, where it's setting at in the field. They can slow it down, speed it up, reverse it, all from their cell phone. And what that means is you can just manage your water better.
Right.
Right.
And they also can pull up if this certain field is producing better crop, they know how much more fertilizer to put in it and everything else. I mean, how technology has come with farmers, it's unreal, just like the tractors. I mean, they basically drive themselves.
Combines.
So the technology, how they map their field on that circle, and in a 120-acre circle, and some of these guys have section 640-acre sprinklers,
right.
the ground can change dramatically. And you can have part of it that's real, real good soil and another part that's not that good. So they know it's not going to raise very much. So they don't worry about that as much. And they can run on across it. Then they get to the soil that produces and they add a little bit more water to it because it's going to produce more.
Yeah.
And it's just they're just more efficient and well, like my wife always says, work smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And so they're doing that.
Is there any other bills or any other things that are...
Any topics that you wanted to cover that you...
So, well, I have a bill that I ran, and I believe the governor signed it last week, was creating county water districts. And it can be one county or two counties. They've got to be adjacent. But I think to address our water in this state, I think that's the way to go. And I said this a long time ago, Eddie and I kind of mentioned this on our last podcast on prairie dogs. But Eddie didn't know anything about prairie dogs until he came up there, and I didn't know anything about trees until I came down here. But as far as water goes, I mean, the state of Oklahoma goes from rainforest to high desert.
Right.
Yeah.
And when you're talking about a state regulating water, regulations for southeast Oklahoma may not work in the panhandle or in western Oklahoma. I think when I first started thinking about this, we need to do it by basin, you know, regulations by basin. And even the aquifer in the county I live in, that water is different than my adjacent county of Texas County. They've got a lot more water. They can pretty much drill where they want to and find water. In my county, it's on the streams that's feeding the aquifer. Mm. So one size does not fit all on regulations.
Right.
And I think by condensing it down to county water districts, they're the ones with boots on the ground. They're in the trenches. They know what's going on with water within that county. And I think that may be a way for us to start addressing some of the water issues as county by county.
What is ORWB open?
I think so. The problem we run into is special law. I can't run legislation that just affects the panhandle, or I can't run legislation that's just for southeast Oklahoma. It's got to fit the whole state. I mean, you just can't do that. And that's what we run into. I think we need to fix that, but I think this doing county by county water districts, I think we can address that.
So would that be something legislative then? Is the state would just have to say we're going to give each individual water district a certain amount of ability to put in their own policies, or
probably? And I don't know. This is the embryo stage of this idea. We passed a law, and when I ran this a couple years ago that made it voluntary. And why I did that is EQIP dollars. You can get EQIP dollars from the federal government, grants that will help you buy a new sprinkler, a more efficient sprinkler, or fix your water system so you're more efficient. You're not wasting. And you just check a box on the form. It has, you know, what are you doing? Are you part of a water district? Well, Oklahoma didn't have any water districts, so they didn't get to check that box. So they didn't get points to get more money, grant money, to improve their system. So I did this as just a voluntary system, and a couple years ago, well, this year I ran it where it's all permit holders within a county is they're going to be within this countywide water district. They're just in it. Whether they participate or not is up to them, but they're in it. And I'm hoping that just local control, because like Eddie said, our farmers out there are generational. They've been there since statehood, and they're going to take care of their property. I mean, that's you're not going to burn down your store and ruin your livelihood just because you get a whim.
Yeah.
These farmers out there are going to take care of their water. They're going to take care of their resources because that's how they make a living. That's how they feed their family, and they want to leave that on to their kids, their grandkids. And you know, I said this a long time ago, so I farm and ranch, but I gave up trying to get rich when I was about 29. I just wanted to stay in business.
just
pay the bills. That's all I wanted to do. But you know, it's not so much these guys trying to just get rich on it. It's a way of life.
Right.
It's a way of life.
Just so we're clear to our listeners, when you say districts, you mean districts yet to be drawn up. You're not talking about the rural water districts. That's breaking it down to that small. You mean like the state would divide the state up into 4 or 5 districts or however many?
By basin.
Okay.
By water basin. Because like I said, the aquifer in Major County, the alluvial aquifers recharge a lot faster than a bedrock aquifer. So the regulations wouldn't be the same.
Right. Okay. Well, that's a good idea, actually.
Yeah, absolutely.
I have a few of those.
We'll save some for the next podcast. No, I'm kidding.
Representative Dempsey, you got anything that you want to discuss
or add to that?
Just where leadership has put me, where I can start been traveling all over the state, seeing different places. I mentioned Duncan. I was in Duncan. It's energy, but everybody knows I live down there in pine trees and chickens and lots of water. And so it's just going out to Casey's and seeing how they work and seeing a feedlot. I mean, I seen a feedlot when I was small, but dadgum, I went to one other day. Good grief, it's just unreal. Cows forever. And they talked about different customers and stuff. And I even went to that pig processing place?
Seaboard.
Went out to Seaboard and toured that, toured the feedlots and stuff. And it did make me think about how we all want to raise black cows. But now feedlot, I've seen dairy cows to all different colored cows, just in the way they talked about the feed. And different customers want some of them fed different and everything else, and I thought that was really interesting. Just opened my mind, but it's just, I guess, one department that I see that I'm the crazy state rep. I notice things out there that needs to happen that I make sure happens in our area, like road construction. They have road construction in Guymon.
I think he cheated when he flew out. He should have drove out. I drive it every week, and that way he could appreciate the roads.
I rode back on a bus. So I got to see a lot more of it, and I really want to, but going downtown. But Senator Murdoch was one of the first persons I called and told him this is what's needing to happen. And so, you know me, I'm going to talk to some business owners, and they would love to have these business access signs that if you drive through the Valley of Construction. I was told it was mandatory 3 years ago, and they still hadn't made it mandatory, apparently, because I ran a bill to get that done. But it didn't make it to committees, and on the Senate side, it passed unanimously on the House. That's just how things work up here. So, I'll fight tooth and nail for every small business.
That's what I know. This changing subject, but from water. But the case in point on this road in Guymon, that's Highway 54 that they're redoing. Every business along Highway 54, and business is location, location, location. Access to Highway 54 is hot commodity, and they're not going to have much business for the next 6 months while they're redoing this road, and it affects their livelihood. Right. We need to find a better way, and Eddie's idea of just showing where you can access these businesses, just signs, would be
outstanding.
Would be great.
Yeah.
And since we're on the topic, you know,
of roads,
you may be aware, you may not be aware, what's happening in our neck of the woods. Big tourism spot, things are happening. ODOT's had a plan in for a while now. Things have changed since the plan was originally come up with. And one of the things that a lot of us there in the town, business owners, would like ODOT to just do the necessary studies, do the necessary work to come up with the best plan for the area. And that's a concern we have, like what you were saying to the businesses along that area, you know, suffering losses due to the road construction. And we have a major concern of what those things will do to our area when they come in there. And it's not 6 months in our area, it's a 5-year project.
Right.
That's a topic that kind of hits home with us. Yeah. Is just, you know, minimizing the damage. You know, there's no way to do the road construction without some sort of negative impact. I mean, right. It's just part of it. But, you know, the thought that we wouldn't do everything we could to minimize that damage, to me, unreasonable. Like, you know, we have the time. And
I think there's a strategic way to do it. You know, this Highway 54 is lots of truck traffic. This is the highway that runs from Chicago to Juarez, Mexico. It's a major thoroughfare for everything being shipped. What's made in Mexico heads to Chicago, and lots of truck traffic. Well, this road was beat to tarnation and needed fixed. Well, they went in there and fixed it all at once from one side of Guymon to the other side, and it's hurt that whole town. And, you know, maybe is there a smarter way? There's got to be a smarter way. Do you do sections? I don't know how you do it. So you just affect one section at a time, you know, as you right. move through. But it needed fixed. It was horrible. It was horrible.
And I mean, even when I worked for Senator Mullen, then when I worked for him, I fought for one little old store in North Post store when they were trying to honestly take a quarter of it down. I mean, they were trying to tell me this and that and this other, and finally they moved over to the other side because there's a lot more room. But I mean, Valiant's business owners, they, like I said, it was so much wrong from the get-go. McAllister, I fought for McAllister. They tried to tell me this and that, saving lives and everything else. I'm all about saving a life. They take in McAllister alone, they took out two red lights, spent millions of dollars to take out two red lights. Next thing I know, they add another red light. What? I mean, where's the logic on that? So, I mean, if we're saving lives by taking out red lights, then we add another one, what's going on? I mean, but we had to close businesses down when they took in red lights out. I mean, not just one, several. And so.
So I don't have a red light in my county. Do not have a stoplight in my county.
In the whole county?
In the whole county.
Wow.
Not one.
but we can go on and on for that. But, all guys, the water deal, like I said, if we don't start controlling it now, I mean, it's a big deal. I've always said this, our world don't belong to us. It belongs to our kids and grandkids. And Murdoch and I, that's something we fight for every day. We won't ever get this ship turned, but we're just trying to get it turned in the right direction. Yeah. I can assure everybody.
Well, it definitely seems, you know, water is a hot topic for the state because we are so diversified as far as our geographic, you know, just the way things are laid out in the state. Like I said, we've got the desert down to a rainforest climate. And it, you know, I've been coming down here, like I've said on here, 3 years now, and it does feel like, as far as water goes, the western part of the state and the eastern part are starting to work together a little, you know. I guess everyone's kind of recognizing that something's got to be done, and in order to do something, we've got to work together some. Because I know when I started coming up here 3 years ago with ORWP, it didn't matter if the idea was good or not. If one side was suggesting it, the other side didn't want to hear it. And that seems to be kind of going away a little.
What helps is natural disaster. When I've been up here 10 years, and my first year I ran was in 2014, we was in the middle of the drought out there, and it was horrible, and it kind of hit the whole state later on. But I've been up here 10 years, and we may have had 3 good years in those 10, but we've been in a drought these 10 years, and for the whole state of Oklahoma, we've been in a drought more in the last 10 years than we have been. That wakes people up,
right?
And you know, when it starts raining, nobody really talks about water anymore. Then it quits raining. Oh, we probably better start thinking about water and conserving it. And I think why you've seen the movement is we've been going on 3-4 years of drought somewhere in Oklahoma, and so we're feeling it.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. 13-14 when we had the big droughts, and I worked for Congressman Mullen at the time, and I was up here. We were meeting, and one of the guys made the perfect comment. I think we were like in stage 4, and it only goes to stage 5 on the graphic. He said, why don't we wait until we get here now? Why didn't we start at stage 1? Start thinking about it. Because back home, Lake Texoma, people there were hollering because their marinas were in mud, and I mean broken boat. We've seen islands we've never seen before. Pine Creek was down to the little river. I mean, we were talking about shutting down the paper mills, the chicken plants and stuff that, I mean, our power plant and stuff back home. And then I remember being up here in that meeting, that guy brought up it two weeks later, that's when we had the biggest flood ever in 2015. Mm-hmm. I mean, we went from one extreme to the other. I mean, the same lady griping about how her marina was in the mud. She was griping because we couldn't open the gates up in Texoma because it was flooding everything. I said, ma'am, Shreveport's already flooded. She goes, how do you know? Where I'm from, that's all we get, Shreveport news. I knew more about Shreveport, and Shreveport was calling us, you're flooding us out. We ain't letting any water out. How can we flood you out? So, I mean, it's but when I said, when it goes over that spillway, it's only the grace of God. And I mean, we broke a record in Lake Texoma. And then what I love about my buddies over in Arkansas, they just want to know was going to open them gates, so they go put their nets out in their pasture to catch fish and stuff.
They definitely could.
One of my cattle buddies, he goes, well, I need some numbers. I said, you remember the flood in 90? He said, yeah. I said, it's going to be worse than that. He goes, you really think so? That's what they're telling me. I said, he goes, well, I didn't want to move in 40. I said, I'll go get them in Shreveport next week. He just leave them down there.
Well, gentlemen, anything else you guys want to inform the people of?
I just want to thank y'all for coming up today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Well, y'all are always welcome up here. You know that. Like I said, it's just
I want to give a shout out to Blue also. Yeah. He's kind of been doing everything today.
Blue. This affects Blue. Like I said when I walked in, you know, I think it was Will Rogers that said whiskey was made for drinking and water was made for fighting.
That's right. And our good water is why we got such good whiskey down here.
Yes, sir. Exactly. Yes, it is. God bless y'all. But no, like I said, thank y'all for coming up. I mean, we live in two different worlds, but how close we've become in the last 4 years, it's unreal. So.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate you.